88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield, joined live right now by the Head and the Heart, getting ready to release Living Mirage on May 17th, joined right now by John and Chris, and really excited as you start sharing this new music with us. We've heard the first single is Misconnection, and so excited to hear more. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Thanks for taking time out of your day.
Last album was Signs of Light back in 2015, and then... since then, you went out into the desert. You kind of did the thing that many bands did, going out to Joshua Tree. What was it about that area, and why did you go out there that inspired you to start writing songs for the new record?
I think we knew going into this record that we had to do some reinvention internally. We kind of just needed to rethink and reestablish ourselves as a band, and I think the desert just provides such a like clean slate. Almost, you can go there and you can become a different person. You can become a different musician. You can become a different band. And I think that's why it is like this sort of like this mecca for for reinvention. Really,
yeah, yeah. And I definitely took that to the extreme of becoming a different person. Going into it, I think I was just very, almost sick of myself in a way of, it's almost like you had to like clear your head so there was room for new thoughts, and the desert just feels like a great place to do that. And I ended up like just shaving my head and bringing clothes down there that forced me to like not feel like myself in a way. Just trying to like, yeah, just removing these, like this, I don't want to say dead weight, but just sort of clearing house, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, you can keep away all the distractions. You can keep all these things mm-hmm. that we can, you know, dig into. Instead, you have that opportunity to think about yourself and to focus in on what you both, I'm sure on an individual level, but also on the band level together was like, this is just kind of thinking about it and saying, are we doing the right thing? Are we going in the right direction?
Yeah, and even further, like song by song, being in an area where you're almost not familiar with yourself, I think it allows you to, each time you approach a new song, you can sort of reimagine it. It doesn't have to feel like music that we've made before, or like this is how I will approach this because I am a guitar player. It's almost like just limitations in general. Like we were kind of just like instead of bringing all of the gear that we already had, it was like, what do they have there? And maybe let's bring one thing, bring like one anchor, and then be like have to rely on what's already there. So these limitations and they just allowed for this reinvention in a sense, you know. And part of it was intentional, and part of it was just pure luck, I'd say, or just happenstance, you know.
Don't tell me I lost a step. Crisscrossed in the wrong direction.
You weren't just in Joshua Tree. There was a writing and some of the recording there, but you really went like across the country to do it too. You were in Wisconsin. You were in Nashville and Los Angeles. I mean, can you kind of hear in the songs where you pinpoint, oh yeah, that's where, you know, the inspiration for that came from. That's where the inspiration for that came from.
I think, yeah, definitely. I mean, when we left Joshua Tree, we were there for almost a month. We had songs like Living Mirage, Running Through Hell, Saving Grace, ones that kind of sprawl, you know? And then if you listen to songs that are a little more like compact, it's like, oh yeah, I totally wrote that in LA. You know, it's just like, granted, you think of LA as the sprawl, but in terms of the way it was writing and the pace of things, it was just like Misconnection, Through My Eyes, these songs where you sort of like move in and out of parts and they're more structured, you know, it's like that was written in a city, you know, but whereas like Running Through Hell was like in the middle of a desert, there's literally dust blowing by me and talking about the winds blowing in. It's, and then Wisconsin was like, that was really just kind of like refining the second batch of songs for us. And it was just a really great, nobody has ties. Nobody knows anybody there. Nobody can go home after dinner and like see their partner and be comfortable. So we were just isolated in this. It's called the Refuge, and it's this old monastery, and it's spooky and eerie and perfect.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about that before, about that place. Because what's his name? Corey Chisel.
Corey Chisel.
I think. Yeah, that's Corey his Chisel's place.
And, yeah. Man.
And it's interesting that, you know, you've picked all these areas that really, you know, have supported musicians in the past and today. And you talk about Running Through Hell. That song kind of stood out to me. It was a head in the heart song, but it still had this vibe of almost like War on Drugs meets Bruce Hornsby. Yeah. Where did that song get its start?
Kind of in a similar place as the Living Mirage, where it was like the band playing music and exploring instead of like John or Charity have an idea of a song with that sort of already sets limitations. That didn't exist. That song was literally, again, me bringing a strat, at least on my end, that was me finally getting a little mojo on an electric guitar and just playing these, they almost sound like reverse guitar lines, and focusing on music versus lyrics or structure. And we worked on that song. It was like a 17 minute song or 11 minute song. And then somewhere about halfway through, I at one point had just came out with it and said, looking for heaven, running through hell again. Looks like I got myself in trouble with the boys again. And then didn't say it again for another 10 minutes. And so we went to sleep thinking like, oh, that was fun. And then we were listening back the next day and I was like, oh no, we've got to like, we were going to like just move on, because to us it was like, that was a great cathartic jam. And I was like, no, man, there's something in there. And we just started consolidating it. And
I think we played that, the original like experimentation of that song was, I gotta say, it was probably like 40 minutes. it was so long.
Yeah.
Tim's in the control booth. He could probably vouch. 40 minutes? It was probably like 40 minutes. 40 minutes that we went through the next day, and it was just like, that was cool. That was cool. Like cherry picking and then finally compressing it. But it's just one of those songs that just, it felt so right in the place that we were.
forcefully. That silly ring, it wasn't meant to be. Luckily, you saw in me something I couldn't see. Honeybee, I can't imagine how my life would be if all your gravity did not hit me. Oh, don't you see, darling, my honeybee. If I were
sometimes the way our band works is so involved, almost to a point where we can squash, we can almost clean it up too much and overthink how to make something better, that we sometimes weed out personality. And I think a lot of what we were trying to do on this one is like realize that we should like just leave that in there. This is who we are. This mm-hmm. is our personality. Like, let this come out, and it just feels more unique, I think, when you let that happen.
And Misconnection is our first taste of the album. That's the first song that we heard. What made that the right single for you to say, all right, this is going to be representative of what people are going to hear on the album?
I'm just going to guess. I think it's the bass line. I think it's like Chris playing bass on that song. It just moves. It just sort of like, I don't know. It almost, and it also like the way some of the vocals were captured too, it almost kind of has like a, makes me think of like Queen Stadium. It's like a, almost like a symbol of that. We like, let's keep moving forward and getting into something that has a larger room, just more space. I don't know. It just has an attitude to it that like felt strong, you know?
It definitely reflects the rest of the record. Like, as far as like you said, like how far we were willing to push ourselves in different directions. Not every song goes that in that direction, but I feel like every song goes in a pretty like particular direction. It's like a bunch of, like you said, it's a bunch of like, it's an album of like vignettes, and they're all like in these different worlds, and it's just clear. I think it just represents like, it sets up the listener for like what's to come, and it's all different, but it is like, it's mm-hmm. yeah.
And how do you piece together all these different sounds? Because, you know, I think you were both, there weren't any boundaries, both in terms of how far you're willing to go, but at the same time, you know, you were going to do some new sounds and more modern sounds, but it sounded like you were exploring some older sounds too, and just kind of letting anything come in near the end of the record, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's the beauty of being in a band that is like a true band. I mean, not one person, at least I personally would never be able to have that much perspective to where you can draw on things that are from such opposite ends of a room and use them in one song. That song in particular, Misconnection, was like kind of a turning point of like a new style of writing that, as soon as we as a band made like sort of started working it out and playing it and making it our own, that's when I was like, oh, we can kind of do anything now, can't we? You know.
So where was that in terms of writing the songs? Was it kind of in the middle, or
so that was after Joshua Tree? Yeah, it was almost like we had these songs that were more abstract and explorative, and then I really wanted to have like just the juxtaposition of that. You know, you don't want like an entire record of like the same thing, or at least I personally don't. And that song was sort of the like the firstborn son of like let's see how far we can push pop. You know, like we just did like exploration in the desert. Let's try something else as well. And and I'm glad we did the desert before that, because otherwise you can get a little too squeaky clean with pop. You can get too sterile almost in a way. And I think because we still had these like, it was like you could still almost smell the desert on us. It allowed us to like, yes, we still like pop music, but we also like making it, you know, at least as fresh or modern as you can, or like unique in its own way.
Shaped tree standing in between human nature and the nature we seek. Wouldn't you know it now? Life's got a funny way of showing us how. I see you standing there listening in the leaves, looking down, shining on me, trying to show me how. Just takes a while, you should know this by now. Until you learn to love yourself, the door is locked to someone else.
I'm just as tame as just you. With you gone.
Without the dark, there is no light. But don't give the ghost an inch tonight.
Outside of signs you believe in, but I didn't wanna believe it.
This could be so easy if you could see it through my eyes. I watched you leave, and there's still so much of you left in me. But as time would show us, no one ever stops the wind from blowing. I was waiting on you, you were waiting on me too. Change into something, baby. Change is a beautiful thing. Until you learn to love yourself, the door is locked to someone else.
I'm just as damaged as you. With you gone.
Without the dark, there is no light. But don't give the ghost an inch tonight.
I saw the signs you believe in, but I didn't wanna believe it.
This could be so easy if you could see you through my eyes.
But tell me, shall not to let it go. Hold on to something so beautiful.
This could be so easy if you could see you through my eyes. The door is locked to someone else.
I saw the signs you believe in, but I didn't wanna believe it.
This could be so easy.
If you could see you through my eyes, I'd tell myself not to let go. Hold on to something so beautiful. This could be so easy. If you could see you through my eyes, I'd tell myself not to let go. Hold on to something so beautiful. Oh, oh, oh. Your magic does something to me.
While making this record, we kind of realized how it almost like revealed how many cracks were in our personal foundation with one another. And so the challenges were, it was more like, we've got to actually get better as humans and be more respectful as friends and bandmates and allow the growth process that not everybody goes through at the same time. And so what we did behind the scenes and without music and just internally, you know, so that when we do come together and play these songs, they're genuine and people are actually putting their selves into them and not just playing along.
Yeah, because a band is a relationship at the end of the day. You have to be combined as one.
It's the hardest relationship there is.
Yeah, but it's the most rewarding because I think it's making me a better person. Like if you can be in a band, it's all of these mirrors get held up to you and you start seeing like, oh, it's, you can't blame it on the band. It's like they've tolerated a lot of things about you and that's no longer working. So you need to, you're like, It's a good thing. It's a good struggle.
You talked about it on stage, but you were all able to get through that mm-hmm. and get past it and still, you know, look like you're having fun and forget the fact that you may have been dealing with that at that very moment.
Yeah.
Which that's important, you know. Again, I'm here with The Head and the Heart. Living Mirage is the new album out May 17th. John, Chris, thank you so much for
thank
the time
you
today.
So much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
It's 88.5 FM.